pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we ask again, your Holy Spirit may speak to us, to our minds, our hearts, and may we put into practice what we hear from you. Because we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Father's Day, a day I can't personally forget. You might ask yourself why. June 17 is Father's Day in Mexico. Just like they have May 10, which is the date for Mother's Day, June 17 is Father's Day. And that's my father's birthday. So every time June 17 comes along, I go, ooh, Father's Day. And then the Sunday right after, Father's Day. A special time. A time that not everybody remembers for some reason. If I would talk to you about my ideal father, and disclaimer, I am not a father, so take this lightly. The perfect father was for me someone who was ready to play every time he came back home after work. He was ready to go out with me and play ball or tag. The ideal perfect father was the father who always said yes to whatever I asked him. The ideal father was the one who never redirected his answer like, ask your mom. The ideal father was the one who, when we got to the store, was ready to go with me to the toy section. That was, for me, the ideal father. And yes, my dad was not that. He did not have a lot of time to play with me, you could say. Very busy with church and with school, and then later on, teaching. But I have good memories of dad. And even though my dad is perfect, and sometimes he would do strange things like, I'll share this, it was picture day, of course, and who was taking care of the kids that day? My dad. And so when 2-3 weeks later, we get the pictures back, mom was like, what did you do with Sam? He was the one who combed me that day. It was like my kindergarten, first grade picture, so it's, you can tell it was dad who was taking care of me that day. Putting on my clothes and getting sure I was looking the best in his eyes. But my dad is someone who is quiet and somebody who likes to read. And I appreciate what he taught me through his words and example. I can say I am the person I am because of him. I am the pastor, the husband, the friend I am because of what my dad taught me. And yes, I would come to him asking, Dad, what should I do in this scenario? In this case, I need to make this important decision. And he would look at me and say, what do you think you should do? And I was like, I'm coming to you to ask for some wisdom here. I would tell him, and he would then give me other options. Options I had not thought of, I didn't think could happen. And he would open up my horizon. And I thank him because he didn't make the decisions for me, because he showed me the options that I had. And the decision that I needed to make, he would be okay with it. The perfect father. Who is he? What does he look like? I think the Bible talks about the perfect father. And not only that, I think that fathers have a very high position in Scripture. more so than any title you could get going to school, more so than any title you could get by doing something. The word Father is very highly regarded by God, to the point that it is in the Ten Commandments. Amen? It appears 949 times. And in the Ten Commandments, it says, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. We look in the Bible and we find the first father, Adam. We find the father of nations, or the father of faith, Abraham. We find Isaac, Jacob, the fathers of a great nation called Israel. We go to the book of Chronicles and we find a list of names of fathers who had sons, who were kings, scribes, prophets. And we might think, yes, those fathers deserve to be honored. But in Scripture, in the middle of the Ten Commandments, fifth commandment, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you do well in the land the Lord has given you. It's a promise. It's a commandment with a promise, says Paul. Now, how does that happen? How do we honor our Father? And thinking about this week, I thought, it's right there, right in the middle, right before the other four commandments. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And right after that, it says, you shall not what? Verse 13, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then it says, you shall not murder. We honor our father by not murdering. It says, you shall not commit adultery. You honor your father by not committing adultery. You shall not steal. You honor your father by not stealing. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You honor your father by not bearing false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, and so on and so on. You honor your father by not doing this. If I've understood something, fathers are honored. They feel privileged, the most privileged person, when their children are honest, truthful, respectful, responsible. Can I hear an amen from fathers? More so than if you went to the moon. More so than if you discovered the biggest new thing. New gadget, more so if you made billions of dollars. Parents feel honored when their children are truthful, respectful, honest, responsible. And that is how our parents are honored. But I believe the Bible also speaks about the perfect Father. And we read it this morning in our scripture reading. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And we're going to start there with verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Jesus speaking to those that were following him. And he said the following to them, therefore you are to be what? Perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If the term Father, if you think, is not that important, Jesus taught his disciples to call God what? Father. Imagine that, the greatest being in the universe. His title, Father. And he called him the perfect Father. It was not Adam. It was not Abraham. It was not Isaac. It was not my father, Samuel Nunez. No. It's God, our heavenly Father, the perfect Father. What makes him perfect? Jesus explains in verse 45, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Perfect Father, a Father who is compassionate upon all people, amen? Both good and bad. He lets his sun shine upon the good and the bad. Even those who don't recognize him as God, he lets his sun shine. He lets the rain fall so that they can eat, so they can have food. And this God, this compassionate Father, asks his children to be like him, to be the perfect children. You wouldn't expect anything else, would you? The perfect Father, the perfect son, daughter, children. Wow. That seems difficult. And more so when he explains what it means to be like the Father. And this is found in verse 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and what? Hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If there is evidence that Jesus was the perfect son, it's right there. He came to this earth while we were still his what? Enemies. He died for us while we were still in a state of rebellion. He prayed for us while we were crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. The perfect Father, the perfect Son, and the invitation to the rest of his children to be like him. But if the picture is still unclear about who's the perfect Father, there's a story in the Bible that talks about that. And that is found in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And it's a short story. Won't take very long to go through it. Luke 15, verse 11. And some of us know the story as the story of the prodigal son. But you know, it's not the story of the prodigal son. At least not according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 says, and he said, a certain man had what? Two sons. It's the story of the father with two sons. That's the story. It's the story of the perfect father with two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Wow. This younger son went up to his dad, said, give me my part, I've worked so many years for you. I know I have an account. Thank you. And before the father could even persuade him to stay, maybe say, hey, son, what are you going to do with all this? What's your plan? Where are you headed? The son took off. He took off. Probably even didn't even say goodbye, Dad. And off he went to this distant land, far from anything that was familiar, far from the love of his father, and he lost it all. He lost it all. And then, to make things worse, verse 14, after he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. He had never been in that position. He'd always had something, and now he had nothing. He was in such a dire position, desperate position, that he went up to somebody and said, hey, I'll work for food. Have you seen that? I'll work for food. And the person who hired him for food put him to take care of pigs. Have you ever been through a place where there is a chicken farm, poultry farm, or a dairy farm? Well, pig farms outsmell them by miles. It's really, really bad. I've been through some of those towns where big herds of pigs, and wow, you put up those windows and it just goes right through it. You're going like, oh no, when am I going to get out of here? Really, really, really strong. And this young man was looking at these pigs, looking at what they were eating, and he was hoping there was going to be left enough for him to eat from that food. And then he came to his senses. Then he thought, wait a second, what am I doing here? I have a father who treats his workers, who treats his business partners as family. Lunchtime comes around and he calls everybody, hey, come on in. Join us. Sit at my table. Eat. There's plenty. And what am I doing here? He planned something. And this is what we find in verse 18. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And I think the most powerful part right here for me comes, and he got up. He didn't only decide he was going to do it, but he did it. He got up. And he came to his father. He went. It wasn't about the nice house. It wasn't about the good food. It wasn't about the job. Now it was about the father. He wanted to go to, and it says there, his own father. That's where he wanted to go. Didn't matter if Dad now was living in a small little house. He wanted to be with Dad. But what's more incredible is the description now that the Bible gives us of this father. But while he was still a long way off, his father what? Saw him. Who was out there every day looking for his son? The father. He was out there every day. He felt compassion, says the text in verse 20, for him. And he walked. No? He ran. He ran to his son. He was so excited. He was so full of joy. It was so urgent that he ran. And then, the unthinkable for me, he embraced him. Wow. I wonder if he took a deep breath before he embraced his son. But he embraced him. And you think that was little? He kissed him over and over and over again. Wow. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring out the best robe, the best suit." I don't know if that's like Armani or Hugo Boss, but he said, "The best. Give him the best and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. Give him the keys of the house, of the car, of all my property, and sandals on his feet," because even that he had lost. "No shoes for who knows how long." And then the father said, "Bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they all began to be merry. They were happy. Happy that the son had come back home. Happy that he was alive. And you know what the best part of the story is? That's our Father. Amen? That's our Heavenly Father. Yes, he is longing to see each one of us home. He's prepared this banquet for us. He's ready to clothe us with this beautiful garments. He's been waiting for a very, very long time. And you know, we are all invited to be part of that great feast. Amen? John said it this way, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called" what? Sons of God. Behold that love. Look at it. Meditate upon it. Think about it. Act upon it. How? How can we honor that type of a father? By loving in the same way he loved us. Amen? By loving in the same way that he loved us. That's how we honor him. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Know where that's found? The Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to ask Isaiah to put it on the screen. Because I think we can pray this prayer again together. It's called the Lord's Prayer. But it's a prayer to our Heavenly Father. A prayer that is full of meaning. A prayer that we should meditate upon, think about. And the prayer goes something like this, and we'll all repeat it together, okay? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I do not see at this moment Bev Link, but she had something, there she is, prepared for all our fathers, okay? So I'm going to ask at this moment all our fathers to please stand up. Women's ministry, with the help of ladies from our church, have prepared something special for all our fathers. And we want to honor you today, just like the Bible says, to honor our parents, honor our father. And so here she is. And I think she's going to need some help from some of the children. Okay, so we're going to ask the children to please come and take one of these to your father and also to somebody else, because some of the kids from the other fathers might not be here. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some, because the fathers each get a card.
Okay.
Okay. And so make sure that each one of the children get a card and a cookie to take to the father. Okay.
Okay. So one card like that. When you get your cookie.
There you go. Make sure you get a card to go along with the bag of cookies. Right here and right here.
Right here.
Getting, I don't know if you can hear me. The cards that you're getting are the from Nathan Green, and it's the family at worship, and it's the same
man that did our Jesus and the Shepherd out in our foyer.
I think we have enough. Is there
somebody in the mother's room that needs a dad in the mother's room that needs that, or in the library that needs some?
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we want to thank you. Ladies, for preparing these special cookies for all our fathers. Fathers happy today? They should be. We're very proud of them, and we want to continue to pray that God will lead you as you lead your families. Thank you, Bev, for preparing these cookies for this very special occasion. Will you please stand with me as we sing our hymn of dedication, hymn number 482, Father, Lead Me Day by Day. And we're going to sing all four stanzas.